I'd invite you to turn with me a moment to the Gospel of Luke as we look there in the 12th chapter, continuing in that chapter, in the 35th to the 40th verses today. There Jesus says, "Be dressed ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like those waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It would be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve. We'll have them recline at the table and we'll come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even when he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not even expect him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Dressed ready for action. You know, as feeble an attempt at playing pickleball as I was. Still, we must be dressed and ready for action in some way. When the men of Jesus' day went to do any kind of work, something that required dexterity and freedom of motion, they would gather up their robes around their waist so they were able to get right down to work. You can't do much in a long robe around your feet. But if it's gathered up around your waist, the actual translation of the words of this first section, "be dressed" in the 35th verse, "ready for service," is in fact, "have your loins girded." Have your loins girded. In other words, literally put that robe up around your waist so that your legs are fully exposed and you're ready to get to work. That's what Jesus is here saying, and he uses another image, that of a lamp. When darkness was falling, people in Jesus' day would bring out their lamps as we do, flick the switch to turn on our lights, or as if you've had a power failure, you know where your lamps really are that you're going to have to light. And hopefully you'll have oil in those lamps and not have to be scrambling around to find a little flashlight, you know, to guide you on your way, or have to search around for that fuel oil, lamp oil that you wish you had bought for such an occasion. Now, in Jesus' day too, their lamps, they had to be trimmed and ready for action. Someone once compared their lamps in that day to a sauce boat, you know, where you'd pour out gravy from, and they had on them at the place you would pour out. Actually, it was a little hole at the place you'd pour out from. And in that hole was a linen wick made out of flax. Flax was, in fact, the material, the plant in which they would almost entirely over the Middle East in the ancient world make their clothing out of. And they would weave the fibers together of the flax, having beaten them in preparation, weave those fibers together and make wicks as well. And otherwise, they'd be stuck in darkness if they weren't trimmed, filled with the oil, and ready to be lit. Jesus is telling us that God's call is like these two images, like that of the master's return from the wedding banquet, or that of being ready for darkness to fall, and for the master's return in darkness, when light shall shine upon the world, only because the master has returned. There's joy at his return, isn't there? I mean, think about any wedding banquet. And as the master returns, he's going to be filled with joy, bringing the bride along with him for his return to the house in which they shall live. And when we think about it, you know, at the day, that last day, coming along with the Lord at his final triumph will be the church triumphant, will be the great cloud of witnesses, as Hebrews in chapter 12 tells us to look for. Will be the church universal, triumphant at last, singing together and declaring the glory of God. Think about Revelation. It gives us a hint in chapter 7 of what this shall be like. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude, John foresees, that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches, as at the day of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb." That's what it shall be like on the day of triumph. For every one of us, though, whether we shall see the Lord's return or not, the day of our death is indeed the last day, the day for us of the Lord's return. It's our return. The day we shall see the Lord, as the scriptures tell us, to give an account for our lives. Now, for some, they're relying on all the things they have acquired in the time they've been given. For some, they're relying on all the good things they've done in the time they have been given, hoping against hope that those good things shall outweigh the bad things that their consciences accuse them of in the stillness of the night. But for still others, those who have no confidence in what they have done or how much they have acquired, they have thrown themselves onto the rock, as the scripture says, onto the rock that crushes not only them, but all the sin that clings so close as Hebrews tells us. We don't know when this day shall come to us, do we? I've heard doctors say to people, you have only this or that much time left, so put your affairs in order. And yet they've gone on for years to live after this prediction. No, doctors don't know. This is literally what one doctor has told my mother. Put your affairs, the doctor said, in order. So she's a ticking time bomb. She said to me now. But there is another sense, isn't there, in which those doctors are right. Even if they're not technically aware of what they say. We must be ready, Jesus said. We must have our affairs put in order, placed in whose hands? God's hands, that's right. In the hands of our Lord and not of us. Upon whom, upon what do you rely? Is it upon all those acquisitions and works? Or have you been crushed, in fact, by the rock? Have you cried out to the master of the wedding banquet, I am yours, O Lord. I am fully yours. Every bit that you've been keeping back from Him, hiding it and secretly thinking, this surely will be enough to present to Him at the last day. Every bit that you've been keeping back secretly in shame, thinking, the Lord can't see this. Everything is before the Lord. The question is, have we put ourselves entirely with nothing secret in the hands of Him who stretched out His arms upon the cross and bears in His hands and feet those marks of the nails that held Him there? And yet, as our own crosses are, look there. They're not the crucifix, are they? No, they're the empty cross, which is a sign that Jesus has been victorious. He's no longer held by the nails upon the tree, is He? No, He's victorious over our sin and our own death. If we've put ourselves entirely into the outstretched arms that He holds for us. He's knocking at the door, Revelation tells us. The door of our hearts. We have but to open that door. He's inviting us here to be girded and ready for action, like those waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet. Barclay, William Barclay, a commentator of the 20th century, an English commentator wrote, we have a habit of dividing life into compartments. There is a part in which we remember that God is present. And there's a part in which we never think of Him at all. We tend to draw a line between the sacred and the secular. But if we really know what Christianity means, in other words, if we really know what it is to have given our lives to Christ, there is no part of life when the Master is away. We are working and living forever in our great Master's eyes. Let us be girded and ready for action. Heavenly Father, all that we are is yours. Help us. Make us to be ready for action.